Oh, jam! Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/themanapool. This is Monday Night Magic number 649. Wait, is that right?
Yes, it should be 649. Last week was 648, so yes.
Oh, okay.
Assuming causality works the way I think it does.
Oh, because Bill missed three, so that would have been 678, and this is 9. Okay, yeah.
Almost missed a playset.
So, hi, I am Chewy, and...
He sure is.
Stuck in the middle with us here is Squee.
I return!
And, then,
and in similar numbers.
In exactly similar numbers, but... not quite the same. And then over there giggling to himself.
That didn't take long for clues.
I just didn't expect that. I did not expect that at all.
If it makes you feel better, I'm still easily frightened.
Sorry, listeners, I was trying to scare either clues or Squee, and it turns out it didn't work.
Hey, you want to hear something scary? Today's tax day. So if you're listening to this, you should have filed your taxes. Okay, if you're listening to this and you're in the United States, you should have filed your taxes by the time you hear this.
In fact, you should have yesterday if you're listening to this, not live.
Yeah.
But, my payment came out of my bank account today, so I'm trying to figure out how to make it through the rest of the month. Because taxes, yay. How come I have to pay taxes but Amazon doesn't?
Because you don't give enough money to the people that determine who pays taxes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right. But I'm broke.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay,
then. Taxes have been successful.
Have you looked up the nutritional value of basic lands? Because you can just get those.
I don't think it's very high.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Nah,
probably not working out.
But anyway, so yes, Squee is back.
Yes.
And we'll hear more about that later, I assume. But for now, we should actually get into the actual, you know, show.
Magic!
Yeah, that. So Bill has looked at, I don't know, 6 or 7 total Magic cards since he's been gone.
Yeah, I've been very much in the dark on what Magic has been doing for the last few weeks. And I chose to stay that way when I got back because I might as well react here. So I've seen a few cards based on what people have directly put in front of me. But I've not gone looking.
Yeah. And I forgot how long Bill has been gone, because before the show, he said, it looks like there are multiple rarities of Planeswalker. And I was like, oh God, you have been gone a while.
Yeah. I mean, I always assumed there would be, but now I've got a confirmation.
Hey, Pinball Witch just subbed for 20 months. Can I get a what was that with my resub? Nope, sorry, I spotted it. But good try. That continues to be funny, I guess, let's say. Anyway, moving on. She got me once. She's been trying to get me ever since.
That's fair.
Hang on.
Yes?
I'm trying to find the right button. I've got too many things open, as usual. All right, here we go. So first up, hey, you remember how people were complaining that we didn't have any information about the... what's going to take over for the PPTQs and whatnot? Well, now we do.
Yeah, we do.
They're MCQs. And, hey, if you participate, you get this super sweet Arcbound Ravager.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, hang on, let's see. Whoa, big picture. Hello.
Like a ghost robot puppy.
It is a ghost robot puppy. Look, he's a good boy. I didn't realize, dude, if you right-click and tell it to open image in new tab, the image is massive high-res.
Yeah, nice. Buddy.
So yeah, that's the art. Look at him. This is the fourth different Arcbound Ravager art we've gotten. There was the original from Darksteel, I want to say?
That sounds right.
And then one in the first Modern Masters, and then there was a Kaladesh... what are those called? Inventions?
Masterpieces.
Yeah, but the masterpieces of those were called Inventions, I think.
Oh, yeah, okay, right, sure, yeah. Sure.
And then now we have this MCQ promo, which is very sexy. And look, it's a beast. And that caught us all off guard. It looks like it's been a beast since its first reprint in the first Modern Masters.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I remarked on it then, but then it fell off.
There is a good chance of that.
Yeah. Oh, and I can't make it smaller. Just bigger. Good job.
Good job. That's Chrome. How modular works. It just gets bigger.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. It just goes in the one direction.
So, okay. Let's close that. MCQs, all of the information you could ever want is here, because this is where all the information is right here, including a list. These all take place between May 4th and June 16th to get into the Mythic Championship 4 in Barcelona. So, there you go. Pre-registration starts April 11th, so 4 days ago. And the events have a capacity between 129 and 226, so please ensure you pre-register and claim your spots early. It's Swiss. It's standard? I seem to remember seeing somewhere.
Hey, look at this.
On
May 11th, there happens to be one of these MCQs at a very interesting location.
Can I guess?
Yeah. Why don't you guess?
Is it sci-fi genre?
No. It was formerly sci-fi genre.
Okay. Well, what's it called now?
It's called Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It's a great shop. You should check it out.
All right, then.
So I'm just going to tell you now, if you ever for some reason need to call that store, ask your question, and then when you're about to hang up, say, I've got one more question. How do you pronounce Genre? Sci-fi Genre? Because apparently for years, people ask them how to pronounce the name of their store before they change the name.
Yeah.
So if you get someone who's been there long enough, they will immediately hate you. And that's an important trait to get out of people that are handling your product.
Yeah, that's totally what you want to do. But true story, that is why they changed the name. It's because they were tired of trying to explain how to pronounce and or spell genre over the phone.
Apparently difficult.
Apparently. So, okay, back on point. They are standard constructed with deck lists required. Yeah. Now, remember, this is what's taking the place of... They're not doing two rounds anymore. So it used to be Pro Tour qualifiers. And then they got rid of that and had the preliminary, the PPTQ. And then they had the regional, the RPTQ. So if you won a PPTQ, you got to go to the RPTQ. And you had to win again to go to the Pro Tour.
Right.
But now it's back to MCQ, and the winner gets an invite to the MC to the Mythic Championship. And I think this is old school, right? Like PTQ season was for a specific Pro Tour, right? That's how it used to work. It's been so long now, I can't remember. But
yeah. I think that's right.
So yeah, now, they got you into a specific one, and you knew which one it was at the event. Like
yeah,
before you
and
signed
that's,
up.
That's how it works
I was going to say, that's how it definitely works here, because the top finishing player at each MCQ will receive an invitation to the Mythic Championship 4 2019 in Barcelona, Spain.
Yeah, now, remember...
Also, you are responsible for your own travel.
Right. They don't give you the plane ticket anymore. You have to do all that yourself, but now the payout at an MC goes all the way to the bottom, so that's supposed to offset it. The problem with that is some of us are broke and would have no way to get there in the first place. So maybe try to figure that out before you win. Or
just have a plan before you go in.
Or concede in the finals.
GoFundMe, Kickstarter.
Yeah, something.
Busking.
But for God's sake, if you win an MCQ, please go. Please. That's why I'm not going to play in any MCQs, because I can't afford to go.
You didn't play Magic.
And that was the other thing, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Multiple reasons.
Cool beans.
So, yeah, like I said, here's the list. Go. Oh, there's two pages. Yeah, there's 140, it looks like, throughout the world. So go check it out. And good luck and all that good stuff. Also, Arcbound Ravager.
Also, Arcbound Ravager.
He's a good boy. I'm
guessing. Guy's a beast.
bad clues.
Yes. Terrible.
All right. So while we're on, I forgot where I was going to go.
Wherever it is, it's while we're on it.
While we're on Mythic Championships, hey, so Oliver Tomachko tweeted something a few days ago, and we all went, huh? And let's look at this image. Let's open image in new tab. Can I make it? I can't make this smaller either.
Yeah, I was going to say, now it's going to. Oh, that doesn't help at all.
There we go. All right, so. Hey, I don't know if this is an email he got. He didn't say, but it says, okay, blah, 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 blah. After speaking to a number of players, we have decided that all players, not just feature match players, will have access to their opponent's modern deck list before playing each round. So as a result, at Mythic Championship London, starting with round 5, which is the second round of modern, I don't know why it's the second round of Modern. That part makes no sense. But each player will have a copy of their own deck list. It will have complete information for the main deck, names and quantities. For sideboards, it will only have the names, no quantities. Okay? Okay. Prior to each match, players will exchange deck lists and have 1 minute to review the opponent's deck list. You can't make notes, and you can't take pictures with a phone or anything like that. After the 1 minute is complete, deck lists will be handed back to their owners. So, that's new. And
yeah,
that day was just loaded with lots of discussion from pro players and randos alike. And it seems like this comes from the people who are on like a pro team having a massive advantage due to scouting.
Which, I mean, they do.
Yeah, and they always have. And, you know, like Rando Bob, who spiked a PPTQ and an RPTQ and got to go by himself. He doesn't have a team and whatnot. He just has to play against whatever sits down in front of him with no knowledge of it. And that's kind of lame.
Yeah, like if you can imagine the scenario where you've got Team Monday Night Magic, where the three of us have somehow inverted to Nega World, where we're good at magic and don't podcast.
Hey, both of us almost spiked to PTQ, or two of us almost spiked to PTQ.
But like, I'm talking like if this were the thing that we spent our time and energy on, like we were all gung ho, super prepped for a tournament, and we do really great, and then Chewy and Clues make day two, and I don't. Well, my first job as the person on the team who didn't make it is to make sure you guys have food and water and all that stuff. My second job is to walk around as the field gets smaller and see what your opponents are playing so that when you go up against that guy over there who has the deck no one's ever seen before, I can tell you what's in it and you have a better idea of what they're going to do in this sideboard. Whereas when we're doing all of this stuff, Jack, who isn't here, just is, you know, also hardcore, but he's not in, like, you know, our team because he left a long time ago. So Jack shows up by himself as one of your opponents. You know what Jack's running. Jack doesn't know what you're running because he's had to play all day and has none of these advantages. That's the kind of thing they're trying to get around. Because, yeah, the group that has more resources, not to mention just other friends and people there, does have an information advantage. And in the later rounds of a tournament, you can see everyone's lists because they wanted to offset that a little bit. Now they're like, we might as well just do this all the way down. So
yeah. So, and this is important for like sitting down, like your mulligan.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have zero idea what your opponent is playing, then your mulligan is essentially blind. It's a, you know, best case. Let's hope he's with this hand. Let's hope he's playing this. Whereas if your opponent knows what you're playing, it's like, well, he's on aggro. So this hand doesn't have any action against aggro at all. So they might, I mean, it's just information that allows them to,
it's just more knowledge you have to make more informed decisions.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
You did.
Why precisely does anyone have any idea? Why do they not show quantities for sideboards?
I think it's so it's not perfect information for games 2 and 3.
I think it's weird that they give you almost perfect information.
Yeah.
Like either do it or don't. But
yeah, it's like a weird half measure for the sideboard bit. And I'm not really sure how I feel about it, because it also, I mean, sure, these deck lists are going to be submitted electronically so they can make this edit if they want to. But why? Why make this? Why not just, if we're going to show the deck list, let's just show the deck list.
Clues is also coming from the judge perspective, where deck lists need to be complete. I have no opinion on this. I think it's fine and leaves a little bit of mystery.
I think if you're going to do something that's goal is to get rid of the mystery, it's weird to go 7/8 of the way through it.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I see why you wouldn't go all the way, but like,
yeah,
it's just...
This is for... Because games 2 and 3, you already know what your opponent is playing. What was that? Oh, that was a follow. Hey, thank you, DIY John B. Appreciate you. Welcome to the pool. Like, speaking, again, from just completely no experience, but from, like, common sense, ideally, like, my Discord server was going, why the 1 minute? What are you supposed to, how are you supposed to memorize their deck list in a minute? And I'm like, it's not about memorizing their deck list. It's about, like, one, what are they playing? Okay. Two, is there anything spicy in here? No, this looks like a fairly standard list. Three, is there anything in the sideboard I need to worry about? And you just glance at that, and that's about a minute.
Yeah.
Like, because if you're playing at a Mythic Championship, you probably have an idea of what you're going to see in the field.
You're also looking at the cards in the context of what will this do to my deck, which is a vastly less complicated way to interact with a list.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to understand all the steps of the combo. You just need to know, is my deck faster than this, and does it have silver bullets that kill me?
Like, pretty much,
that,
yeah.
That doesn't take more than 30 seconds. They're giving you a minute because there's a chance you run into a deck you've never seen before.
Yeah. And I think the lack of quantities in the sideboard is there simply for... Because games 2 and 3, it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, I mean...
So
like,
why show the sideboard at all is my question.
That is a question.
Because I feel like you should either not show the sideboard or show the whole sideboard.
The idea of keeping this half measure is just to it, but also revealing it is just weird to me. Like, it's like someone tried to compromise between two things, but really they just did something that doesn't make sense.
I like the way that us three nobodies here are getting hung up on sideboard quantities, whereas everyone else was complaining about every other aspect of this.
Well, it's because every other aspect of it, I understand the goal and it makes sense. Like, whether or not I agree with it is irrelevant. I know why they did that. I don't know why they did this.
What I don't know is why they start with the second round of Modern. Like, why not go from the beginning? Why? What the hell?
In the first round, if your goal really is to remove the advantage that people who are scouting have, the first time that's relevant is the second round of Modern.
I mean, that was what I was thinking. Like, if the goal is to get around scouting, then this makes sense. And likewise, it probably gets around a few headaches, like, oh no, you registered your deck wrong, and now here's bad information we would be sharing for the rest of the day because you registered your deck wrong. They'll sort that out after one round, theoretically. And that's just a way around that. But I think it's mostly what Clues is saying. Like, you don't go into round one with the scouting advantage, no matter what's going on. Unless, you know, your friend is watching someone turn in the list and somehow reading it when it's likely folded twice over and rubber banded and also covered in some kind of weird arcane rune to make it so you can't read through it because people are crazy. I really think this is just one of those things where they're trying to mirror it and, to a lesser extent, offload some of the weight that's going to just be happening the first round when it turns out someone didn't specify which Borborygmos they wrote down. And other headaches like that.
I mean, I'm sure that's all crap that would be handled ahead of time when the thing gets... because your deck lists are submitted electronically, so...
Yeah.
I'm sure any kind of issues like that would come up later. Or sooner, rather. Sorry, there was another weird noise coming from upstairs.
Is everything okay up there?
Me. I don't know. My neighbors are weird. Anyway, so chat, do you guys have any questions or comments about the deck list reveal thing? I think it's neat. And I think anything that takes away an an unfair but legal advantage is fine.
How can it be unfair if it's legal, man?
Well,
see reference, lawful is not good.
It's true. They do make a lawful evil. So any real questions? Okay, I guess not. Chat has not typed any questions that aren't nonsense. So, I guess we should move on. But that's a thing that's going to happen at MC London, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. If you go to MC London, tell us how it worked out.
Yeah, please.
Along with everything else about London.
Also, if you go to MC London, say hi to Mike Rosewater, because, hey, look, Rosewater is actually going to be at the Mythic Championship in London.
Yeah, I hear he's going to be giving out short fives.
That's terrible.
That is just terrible.
But this is actually pretty big, because he doesn't really go to events anymore. There are a few notable exceptions over the years, but very few. So, and he used to go to all of them way back in the way back. So that's cool. Hopefully he'll be giving some sort of talk or something sometime, somewhere.
Yeah.
But okay.
It's because it's also a pre-release. That's how you get him to go.
Ah. I see what you did there. Hmm. All right, moving on. Next bit of news. Hey, you remember that War of the Spark novel?
Yeah.
Well, apparently in November there's going to be a sequel called War of the Spark Forsaken, also by Greg Weisman.
Spoiler alert?
Yeah.
So someone's getting Forsaken.
There you go. That's...
we are completely forsook.
I am forsook. No, wait, no. I am shook. Excuse me. I get those confused.
Hmm.
Yeah, apparently it's going to be available November 5th.
It's got a 5-star rating from one person who I guarantee you has not read it.
Unless Greg Weisman did that. Like a jackass.
Shenanigans.
He's like, this is great. 5. Boom.
It's like, man, I wrote all those words and I put them in an order. It's amazing. And when I see that cover art, I'm going to blow my mind.
So in this book, let's see now, Captain America and Ant-Man and, oh, wait a minute. No, I'm thinking of the Marvel films. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah, you are. This is Captain Dominaria.
Wow.
Okay, it's really just Gideon and funny outfits.
What color would Captain Dominaria's shield be? Would it be a Wooburg shield?
It'd be the Coalition, wouldn't it?
Maybe. That was a long time ago, though, so.
I mean, he's frozen in the Ice Age.
That's true, yeah. It would have been Coalition colors. I see what you did there. Aha!
It'd be neat.
Anyway, okay, moving
on. That'd be fun. Somebody pay someone to make that. That'd be cute.
Yeah, hurry up. Get on that, internet. Okay, so moving on. Apparently, this has been going on for a while again. There's a fundraiser campaign selling a bunch of pride colored, is that the right term? D&D logo and Planeswalker symbol. And they to benefit the Lambert House. They did this at some point in the past. I have no concept of the passage of time, but apparently it's been going again because there's only 6 days left.
All right.
And I wasn't aware of it until just earlier today.
Huh. But they've got pop sockets. Look at that.
Do what?
They've got pop sockets.
What the hell is a pop socket?
It's a thing that goes on the back of your phone. It's like, see, I have one with Charmander on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I legitimately thought that was some kind of slang for a soda bottle.
Yeah, so did I. Or a cup holder or something. But yeah, originally...
Is it like that cup holder that pops out of your computer?
That's the one, yeah.
I don't even have one of those cup holders on this computer.
Where do you put your drink?
On the desk. But they've got, again, the regular... Well, here, let's just open one up. The Planeswalker symbol here. They've got men's shirts, women's shirts, men's tanks, women's tanks... hoodies, zip up, and a navy blue one for some reason. I don't know why they've got the black shirts and then the blue shirts, but whatever. They've also got, before it was just the shirts for the D&D symbol and the Planeswalker symbol, but now we've got bags and I don't know what this is, but it's got eye holes. What is this?
I think it's a flag.
Oh, it's a banner. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Hanging in your dorm room or wherever. Pop sockets, whatever that is. Yep. Tervis cups. Tervis cups are really sweet. We had a listener, AJ, who used to work at a Tervis plant or something, and he sent me two with Chewbacca on it. Well, one had Chewbacca on it that I drank out of for a very long time. It was just always here full of water. And the other one was a Darth Vader with like a Santa hat that said Merry Sithmas. They've got, I don't know what this is. Magnets. Well, if that's a magnet, what the hell is this?
Samoflange.
Vinyl decal. What the? I can't say that on this show.
It's a sticker.
Then nice. We've got, I guess these are notepads. Ambassador bound notebook. Man, if I was still doing comedy, that'd be pretty cool, actually.
I want to know more about this Tervis sport bottle.
And some shades that are really hideous. And hats. These are trucker hats. If you're into that sort of thing. So yeah, there you go. This ends in 6 days. These are all separate campaigns, so you can't like lump them together to get cheaper shipping because of the way that Custom Ink is set up. But it's for a good cause. Lambert House is... Hang on. A center for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth. It empowers youth through the development of leadership, social, and life skills, offering over 20 programs, activities, resources, and services on an ongoing year-round basis. Funds will go toward helping the Lambert House buy a permanent home for the LGBTQ youth community. So it's the same as last year's. I think it was last year. Again, I have no concept of the passage of time, but it really bums me out that I didn't find out about this before I was broke, because I would have bought a hoodie. But sadly, taxes, so I can't buy it, because look at how sweet that is. Wow. So, wait, can I make this picture bigger? No, I can't make this picture bigger.
You can control their arms.
Oh, but can you spin it around?
I can spin it around. Yeah, it's just black on the back, and then you got the big planes. That's really cool. I like this hoodie. But
that's really nice.
What's the hoodie? It's $40? Definitely can't swing that before 6 days is up, so oh well. I'm sure they'll do it again, because this is like the second or third time they've done this.
Wow.
So there you go. If you wanted one of these, hurry up and get on it, because it ends in 6 days from this recording. Not from when this was posted. It's probably 5 days from when this was posted. So there you go. Link is in the show notes to this page, which is all of the different campaigns. Which is all the different... It's not going back, but it's all the different items. Okay.
It's all right.
Okay, so, hang on, let me take this back to us. So, Squee has only seen a few cards.
Right.
The ones, like Fibblefip that I sent him on purpose.
Yes.
And I think I sent you Totally Lost as well.
Yeah, you did.
Where poor Fibblefip was standing on top of the Bolas statue of... I keep forgetting what Mike calls it. The Statue of Non-Liberty, I think Mike calls it. So we wanted to figure out some way to do something with this for the show to get Bill, because Bill has intentionally not looked at this most of this stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Oh, hey, St. Saigal asked, have you seen the new card back?
No.
You haven't seen the new card back?
Does it say Jackmaster game?
Wait, there's a new card back?
Damn it, Clues. You're supposed to just go with it.
I mean, I know they're not allowed to change it, but I'm going to ask anyway. Does it say Jackmaster game?
Okay, so
it doesn't have the marker mark on the in the artwork. They took that out finally. Yeah.
No, okay, there's no new card back. We were trying to pick on Bill. St. Saigal threw it out there, and I couldn't resist jumping on, but...
Would have been neat.
It turns out we got clues instead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was distracted. I was looking at a card that I was like, I got to show this to Squee. And then I heard you say new card back. And I'm like, wait, what did I miss? There's a new card back?
Okay. For the record, no, there's not a new card back.
Because there is on Arena. You can totally change up that card back on Arena. That's weird.
Nope. Those are sleeves.
No. There is. Okay.
Oh, okay. There is the new.
There is the
card back they'd make if they could.
Right. That's the one.
On Arena. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there are the sleeves.
Okay, I'm sure they would absolutely love to change that card back if they could.
Which do wear out, and you have to buy new ones. They're marked. I'm kidding. It's not true.
All right,
I'm
sorry. So, Bill, I think it was Bill or somebody, had the idea before the show. He hasn't looked at the story scenes.
Correct.
Like, at all. So I figured, or we figured, we would get him to tell us, I think this was Clues' idea, actually. What's going on in each scene with no knowledge, foreknowledge of the cards or the story.
Now, there are a lot of these, so we're going to need you to go
Just to clarify, I did watch the recap thing you sent me.
Right, but that has nothing to do with this. That's just about Bolas's plan in general. That's the, what was it called? War of the Starks story?
War of the Starks is a different thing that's going on right now.
War of the Starks.
Yeah, I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I don't get it. But, that's the story video that we talked about last week that had Graham from... Loading Ready Run, doing the voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I sent that to Bill and was like, you have to watch this because it's cool.
And I did.
What?
Okay.
Oh, no, Pinball Witch. War of the Stark is when I don't say his name at the end of the show in the sponsorship shoutouts.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Yeah. So, all right. So, let's go to this. And, all right. Squee, do you have the story scenes open?
Yes.
All right. What's going on in Act 1, Scene 1?
Based just on the picture?
Yeah, just... Well, if you click on it, it will then show you a bunch of cards.
Oh, now we're getting fancy. Okay. So, we got a Death Ward invasion. Chilling. Yep. All right, so since I don't know, I'm going to make up a story instead. This is going to be like Mad Libs.
That's the idea.
So, fair enough.
All right, so the Dreadhorde invasion was sent out by Tezzeret to find him some abs, because he doesn't have abs, and as we all know, abs are the chief export of Amonkhet. So, they're going out to find abs, and the cruel celebrant's like, you have fun with that, I've hit them all. Which is why she's drinking. Alright, Act 2, or Act 1, Scene 2. The emergence zone is when they bust out going, who's got abs? Bring us the abs. Ravnica at war is like, my abs, oh no! The the Herald of Dreadhorde is like, bring us the abs. All right, Act 1, Scene 3.
Wait, hold on. You know you can scroll sideways. There are more cards than just the three
there?
You see. Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't tell that from this view at
it's
all.
It's not the greatest UI.
Oh, this is terrible. I couldn't see that at all.
Wait, I'm looking at 6 cards. Are you only seeing 3?
That's
probably
5.
Screen resolution issues.
I see 5.
Oh.
Okay, so rewinding a little bit to earlier in the AB adventure. Dreadhorde invasion sent out to get abs because Tezzeret doesn't have abs. Cruel Celebrant is laughing. The Interplanar Beacon is finding abs, and Vraska is all like, check out my snakes. All right, is there more than that?
They're nothing but abs.
Yeah, it's just those, yeah.
Okay, cool, because abs are how snakes get around, so she's laughing at his lack of abs.
Right.
Emergence Zone is about, all right, there's some abs over here, let's check it out. Ravnica at War is like, oh no, my abs. The Herald of the Dreadhorde is like, we will find the abs. Invade the City is the search for abs. Liliana is all like, I can bring back abs, but they have to have been there before. And Widespread Brutality is like, let's hide the children. They'll one day have abs. All right. Got to play the long game here. Act 1, Scene 3. Ignite the beacon. And Johnny's like, I have cat abs. Which is true. It's entirely true.
Oh, that could be a show title. Go on.
All right. So there's no escape because Jace is all like, I forgot what abs are. Johnny, the great-hearted, is like, check out my great heart. It's hiding behind these abs. Jace, wielder of mysteries, has wrapped these belts around himself because he doesn't have abs, and he wants to hide that because he's still a little bit ashamed. He lost them in his romance novel days. I'm not reading any of these cards, by the way.
Did he have abs when he was romance novel cover, Jace?
I mean, maybe.
I think he might have.
Possible. All right, so that was all Act 1, you know, the search for abs. Now we're in Act 2, Scene 1. So, Zhang Yanggu, because I can't remember how you actually pronounce his name, the Wildcrafter, is all like, I'm going to drop this spice on it because we're going to do a cooking show instead. Mo, the loyal companion, is like, I will sniff out the abs, but not for him. They must be protected. Kiura, behemoth beckoner, is all like, I'm part fish, so we don't do that. Teferi Time Raveler is like, look at that. I lost some age and got some abs. I'm awesome. Vivian's Arcbow is all like, what do my elven eyes see? Oh, look. This arrow shall find the abs. This is the arrow of ab seeking. Same with the Tyrant Smasher is all like, I have so many abs that I will wrap this diagonally across it like some kind of double wharf. Vivian Champion of the Wilds is all like, my arrow shall again find those abs. Angrath, Captain of Chaos, is like, check it. I got some. Kaya, Bane of the Dead, is all like, I stab abs. Teo the Shield Mage is like, I am Doctor Strange right now, and Doctor Strange knows all about that. He's come to bargain for abs. Davriel, Rogue Shadow Mage, is all like, I'm edgy. I mean, Reaper. The Wanderer. the Wanderer is all about this hat and can't even see abs, but that's okay because that hat's super cool. So that's awesome.
Okay, Bill.
Yeah.
Before you move on, could you go back to Mawu Loyal Companion?
Oh, yeah.
Look carefully at the dog.
That is a majestic ab puppy.
Yes. I think Mowu might have all the abs for himself.
It's possible. It's quite possible. Like, you know, he's a loyal companion, and he's been gathering the abs to save them for the future. You know, as you do. All right. Act 2, Scene 2. Oh, look at you! This Arcanist looks like he's trying his hardest to be Onslaught. He's a zombie wizard. He was Onslaught. That's neat, though. He's got, you know, he's got an ab poker that looks like Bolas Horn, so that's cool. The Eternal Taskmaster is collecting abs, but they're used, so nobody wants those. Gleaming Overseer is just rolling into battle, like, whatever, man. I don't need abs. I got a horse. It's not really a horse, but it's weird. That's what it is. Ned Dreadhorde Champion is like, my abs are burning because, you know, he doesn't skip ab day.
His abs are on fire.
It's true. Nahiri is all like, who let him out the wall? Like, that's really it. Soren's like, I'm out the wall. My abs are free. Single combat is where they fight over the fate of Soren's abs, but he's got the ab armor because, you know, he came prepared for this fight. And there's only 3 cards for that one that I can tell.
Yeah.
Cool. Single combat. So is it. All right. Tulsimer. Oh, it's Tulsimer. How you doing, buddy? You got them wolves? All right. Yeah. I don't even need to comment on your abs because you're old school. Devouring Hellion. Well, we know what he's going to eat. Moving on. Spellgorger Weird. Well, we know what he's going to eat. We're going to move on. Spellkeeper Weird. You know what he's going to keep. We're going to move on. Roll Reversal. Where the abs at? Here they are. Cool. Boop-a-doop. Ah, Massacre Girl. Chewie is into her abs.
God, yes.
Damn right he is.
I noticed that from the internet. So we got Tomic Distinguished. Oh, it's almost Advocus, but it's not because you're backwards, you fool. Mizzium Tank looks like a juggernaut. I love it. That's awesome. You could roll into, like, you pop the hood and you're like, I could fit so many abs in this thing. It's great.
I was taking a drink when you said the Advocus thing.
Wonderful.
Oh, boy.
Excellent. All right. Mobilized District. Like, I love that they're doing Hands Across America while that frees up their hands from the ab zone so that you can see them all. Oh, man. It's all abs in. It's all coming together. We're working on it. We got this. All right. That was scene 5. We got more scenes to go. Rally of the Wings. Look at those flying abs. That's awesome. Perhelion 2, because it's got 2 abs. I respect that. Eternal Sky Lord is all like, from up here, you can only see my abs. Oh, it's Feather. How's she doing? I'm not going to make fun of Feather. She's great. Good job, Feather. You finally got your card. Took you a while. Because Feather never had a card, right?
Correct.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, awesome. Feather was never mentioned outside of the novels, was she? Was she ever in any flavor text or anything?
I think she was mentioned in like one of the web stories. I don't remember her actually having a card, though. Oh, dude, it's Jaya, like the sassy abs. And it's Chandra, the younger sassy abs. She's got some chainmail on it, so, you know, it works out. She's got, like, the weirdest ab area, because there's no way that'd be comfortable, but you know what? She makes it work. She got it. Now, Karn actually has abs of steel. That's just his thing. But he also has the ability to make those abs of steel come to life and hit you, so I'm not messing with him. He's a pacifist who will kick your ass.
Your abs.
Saheeli.
kick your abs.
Kick your abs. That's true. So you have Saheeli over here, you know, like busting out the cat abs if she feels the need, but, you know, banned, whatever. Dovin, hand of control, because he's all like, I could touch both abs if I really wanted to. Because as previously mentioned, some of these people only got two abs. Go get them, Dovin. All right. Man, this page is so weird to navigate. Oh, no, not the statue. That statue might have had abs, but look at those big abs knocking it over. So we're net positive on the abs. Awakening of Vitugazi. Oh, you woke it up. Oh, man. It's like some Shadow of the Colossus abs up in here. Let's see. We got Nyssa, who shakes the world. Well, you know how she does it. Like, you'd think it's the hips, but no, it's the abs. And she's triumphant because she's all like, ah. I don't know why this became the thing, but like one card in, I'm committed now. This is why I'm bad at drafting, by the way. I just stick with a theme no matter what. Enter the God Eternals. Who let them in? You guys are weird. Wait, does this guy not have abs?
Nope.
No.
Oh, he is lacking. He's not going to win. Yep. God Eternus Ronus is back, and he's all like, my torso is ambiguous. Kefnet is like, no abs, no time. Bontu is no abs, no time. Look at you guys. You're lacking. You might be eternal, but at what cost? Act 2, Scene 10, Pledge of Unity. Like, I love the fact that everyone is reaching in at almost ab level. So that's good, but you missed. You might not make it. You got to get those plus one counters to reach it. Contentious Plan. Well, I mean, I don't see any abs in it, so I'm not contented at all. Jace's Triumph. Look at him not looking back at that Ark of the Covenant he learned from the movie. Firemind Vessel. Look at that. It's like you got photobombed. That's awesome. And the finale of Promise, in which case we all gaze upon the glow of draconic abs. Am I out of cards? I think I'm out of cards.
Yeah, you're out of cards.
Coming soon. Well, Act 3 is going to reveal it. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God.
I read all none right. of those cards. So, I have no idea what any of those cards do.
So, listeners, the sounds that you heard earlier were a subscription from Jay Barlow, who's been here for 20 months. And Pinball Witch with an episode name suggestion that I'm totally not going to use.
Yeah, but there are some good ones that I put into the show notes.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I got a few ideas myself. So.
Wonderful. So are there any cards you think I should specifically actually look at?
Well, I think you should read the flavor text on Firemind Vessel in Act 2, Scene 10.
Okay. Act 2, Scene 10. Firemind Vessel. All right. Just to read the whole card for people. Four mana, uncommon artifact. Firemind Vessel enters the battlefield tapped. Lame. Tap. Add two mana of different colors. Fair. The city mourned of Mizzet's death. Aw. But he left behind the components for his rebirth. Aw, look at him thinking ahead like a dragon.
And not to worry, we have, in fact, seen Niv-Mizzet reborn.
Oh, good.
Well.
I would be afraid if he were to stay dead longer than Superman.
So, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and read Niv-Mizzet Reborn. Chewie, can you bring up the card image gallery just so we can close this loop so Squee doesn't, you know, worry too much about poor Niv?
I mean, I'm not too worried about the Dracogenous. He thinks ahead.
I'll assume it's up.
It is.
All right, it's Wooburg for a 6/6 legendary creature, Dragon Avatar. He's mythic. Flying. Yeah, flying. When Niv-Mizzet Reborn enters the battlefield, reveal the top 10 cards of your library. For each color pair, choose a card that's exactly those colors from among them. Put the chosen cards into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So, there you go. Just all the guilds. Every guild gets a card.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Plus, sweet new dragon abs.
It's new dragon abs.
Like, yeah, for real. So...
Let's see. Were there any others that I thought you really needed to
exactly
see?
Those colors.
Yes. So it's...
You don't just get to pick, like, three Abzan cards. Like, it's specifically those two colors. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, it's... That's
an avoided
like
problem.
In Gavin Verhey's article about this, he nicknamed it Guilds Matter.
Fair enough.
Which is really a good shorthand way to put it.
I wonder if you're going to have some interesting hybrid mana nonsense out of this, or split cards or something.
I don't think there are any split cards in this.
Not in set. I just mean when people start making EDH decks out of it.
Oh, yeah, almost certainly.
Do go back to Act 2, Scene 5 and read Massacre Girl if you haven't seen that card already.
I mean, I saw Chewie reacting to her.
You mean
Massacre Girl.
Proposing to her?
I mean, you do you, buddy. Like, I'm assuming you talked about this card last week, or was it revealed?
Yeah, we talked about it.
We talked about it last week.
So I don't need to read the whole card.
No.
No, I do remember looking at this and being like, oh, dude, she's like a blowfly infestation. But also, she'll shiv you.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, she will.
That's fun. I like that a long time ago, Animal built an entire deck out of this mechanic, and she does it all in one card. That's great.
Oh, word? Magnus with the 19-month resub. He said, that was a good laugh. I needed that. That was pretty good. Yeah. Even the part where I almost died, it made it even better. So thank you for the sub. Oh, Bill. Go to the card image gallery.
Okay.
Go to black and read the flavor text on Soren's Thirst.
Is this going to be inappropriate? Hold on. Soren's Thirst. I see you're out of the wall. Nahiri. I appreciate that being her reaction to what's happening in the card.
Because
due to the way that they animated the blood, I assume that's blood in the shot. It kind of looks like he's just stealing the Kool-Aid Man. But
oh yeah, wait.
Oh my!
What was that? Al with the let's see, he's with the resub for the 21st month, the 20th in a row. How does that work? I guess that means you did a month and then missed one. And
for it to be able to be a resub and also a chain.
But he said, Bill's back. Yeah, he is.
It's true.
He is. And in rare form. Okay, so there's a card that I really do want your reaction to.
Okay.
And this one is not yet in the card image gallery, but it has been officially previewed. So I'm going to send a link via the chat here.
Okay.
So that everybody can get to it. This is just the place where I found the pick.
Okay. Oh, it's him.
Yeah.
Hey there, big guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's got a lot of words. Do you want me to just read it? Or
I think you should. I think this is one that deserves some discussion.
Okay. Nicol Bolas, dragon-god. Blue, black, 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 red. So 5 mana. Legendary creature Bolas. 4 loyalty.
Legendary sounds... what?
Legendary Planeswalker Bolas. Did my brain actually just sub in the word creature?
It
that's
did.
Fine.
It did.
That's
it did.
Amazing. Wow, I'm out of practice. Yeah, Legendary Planeswalker Bolas. Yep, 4 loyalty. Nicol Bolas, Dragon God, has all loyalty abilities of all other Planeswalkers on the battlefield.
Yep.
Well, that's going to be funny. I can't imagine that's going to break something later. You draw a card. Oh, plus one. You draw a card. Each opponent exiles a card from their hand or a permanent they control. Neat.
Oh, their choice. I was like, what?
Yep, they're choosing. -3, destroy target creature or planeswalker.
Kind of fits the story.
Yeah. -8, each opponent who doesn't control a legendary creature or planeswalker loses the game. That's funny.
Damn.
I like how it says opponent, as if there's a way that you could trigger this without it applying to you.
I mean, you could.
Actually, it's a cost. You could.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Now that I thought it through. Huh. That would be a sucky way to go. Like, I got it. Wait. Oh, no. So now I'm immediately thinking about if he's got the loyalty abilities of all the other planeswalkers, like what stupid thing you would do that would make this broken. Oh, not even broken, just like not work. Most of what I'm thinking of involves stupid things like Gideon, but he'd just walk over and beat you because it gives him stats. So,
I mean, having all the loyalty abilities, he can still only activate one per turn before anybody loses their mind.
Yeah.
It's just you have
unless
way more options.
Unless you've got the chain veil, doesn't that let you do 2?
Yeah, it lets you do 2. But in the scenario where you have a chain veil and planeswalker out, a lot of things break. It's like doubling season. It's just like, good job, you did it. I was just wondering if there's any weird interactions that, like, I wouldn't normally think of. Like, this is going to be one of those things where someone at a casual table at some point is going to bust out one of those stupid, you know, pre-con planeswalkers that nobody remembers that has a stupid overcosted ability that Bolas will do and it will actually just somehow work. Like,
that'll be awesome.
Like, when it happens, we will all laugh. Like, because those things suck, but it'd be really, really funny if one of them was just cost 8, does something stupid for -6, and then you play Bolas and you do it, and you're like, oh, I was defeated by Teferi standing in line at the DMV. Like, oh no. Weird. But hey, I mean, he's the boss, so go get him, buddy.
I think it fits very flavorfully with the set here, though. It's kind of neat. The artwork's awesome, but that's not necessarily surprising.
Yeah. Got that playmat artwork.
Yeah. Well, it's almost. The playmat is done in a stained glass style, but it is the same pose.
Yeah. I mean, now that artists can sell their own stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a playmat soon enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all neat and stuff, though.
That is pretty cool.
I'm pretending there's a tiny Fibblethip on the top of his head where it bumps. More fun that way.
He's just like, guys?
Like, oh, I don't want to be here.
Let's see. While we're on funny stuff, hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Go into black in the card image gallery and look at the Lazatet Behemoth.
Lazatet Behemoth.
This was recommended in chat. And we
left. Oh, dude, that's awesome. It's a zombie hippo. I don't even care what else it says.
I mean, it doesn't, but read the flavor text.
I know I should be more concerned. But a big blue zombie potamus from beyond the stars? This is what they're invading us with? Yes.
Yeah, hippos kill a lot of people.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but this is a zombie hippo from beyond the stars. What chance do you have? A zombie potamus. Amazing.
Pretty great.
This is the hungriest of hungry hippos.
Ah.
Your marbles are screwed.
Oh, wait a minute. Bill, did you see new Tibble?
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Go to red.
Is he good?
Go to red.
All right, I'm going to red. This is the exciting part for me. This is what I didn't realize I was waiting for. Tibble.
Very first card they showed, too.
Yeah, he's the rakish investigator. Look at him. He's investigating.
Oh, no. Instigator.
Aw.
He's instigating.
That's fun, too. That's more likely what he would do.
But damn, that fashion sense. Holy crap.
I mean, that's been known. All right. Who in a red five? Your opponents can't gain life. Look at him. He's for clues.
Yep.
Create a 1/1 red devil creature token with when this creature dies, it deals 1 damage to any target. That's a way to instigate.
It's the best Tibble ever printed.
Absolutely. Hands down.
True. It's like he went and worked out and cost an extra mana, but on the same note, he does stuff. Oh, look at you, Tibble. You got buddy.
I didn't notice the giant growth was back.
Yeah.
I like how he picked up a Rager on the way. Tibble's got a boy now.
And giant growth has Mowu on it.
Yeah. What a good doggo. Look at him.
Young big puppy.
He's a good boy. Sometimes Mowu is content to gnaw on a bone. Sometimes he wants the whole skeleton.
So does every Planeswalker have a designated, like, accompanying card?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Most of them are, like, Planeswalker's names something. Like, look at Arlen. Yeah. Arlen has Arlen's Wolf.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at Nahiri's Stoneblades here, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and Tybalt's Rager, which is also just a good card.
Yeah, it was a real good one, too. I mean, like, we were all just so exhausted the next day.
I appreciate that Jaya's greeting has flavor text, because girls do. Like, she hasn't been able to do flavor text in a while.
Right?
Good times. Neat.
Oh, there's one more card from today I have to go find that we do have to talk about.
I'm trying to think. Chat, is there anything else that's funny in here that Bill might not have seen? Because Bill hasn't seen it almost.
Because I haven't seen these things yet.
Seems like there was something else that was funny that I'm forgetting.
I like how they actually went ahead and made a card called Bond of Passion. Like, good job.
Is that the
way
red
to go,
one?
Guys? Yeah, it's a red sorcery.
Yeah.
It's the one that you mentioned to me when you asked me how much I think it should cost.
Yeah, we were playing because the Discord server was losing its mind because it cost six. And I was talking to Bill about it. I'm like, hey, what would a card that did this and this cost? And he goes, is it an instant or sorcery? And I looked, I said, sorcery. He goes, okay. What is it, shock? I was like, oh, it's any other target. He goes, oh. Yeah, six is probably right. I was like, okay, just checking.
Like, when you said it at first and I didn't think about it, I thought, oh, like, you know, like four or five. And then when I really had time to think about it and what it
yeah,
would
we
do
were
in limited,
the middle
like
of a...
six.
We were playing on, freaking, which map is that? The control point map in the snow where the Yeti hunt is.
Oh, yeah.
What's the name of that map? It's completely fallen off.
We're in, like, Nepal or something,
Nepal,
right?
There we go. Yeah, we were playing on Nepal and trying to take back the point, I think, when I was like, oh, by the way, Bill.
Yeah. Like, I see.
Also, if you look carefully at Finale of Promise, you'll see that's not Nicol Bolas.
No, he doesn't have the headgear.
Yeah, I think that's new Niv.
Probably.
Because this was previewed by, was it GameSpot? And people thought, oh no, they showed their card early because the, you know, Finale of Promise sounds like an end thing.
Yeah.
But no, that's not. And later that day we saw the new Niv-Mizzet and all that. And we went, oh.
All right, I'm going to have to give you a screenshot of Ashiok.
You could, because... I mean, if you just search Ashiok in Twitter again, you'll find a card.
Yeah, well, it was, yeah, that's fair. It was previewed on a YouTube channel, and so we don't have an image. I was wondering why I couldn't find a good image of it, and it's because everybody just took a screenshot.
Because everyone has a screenshot, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
That's fair. I mean, I saw people talking about Ashiok, so, like, I've seen it. But
oh, you have. Okay.
You may want to mention it for the
chat.
Yeah,
once Clues gets us a link, since it's not in the card image gallery, I'll...
Once I get you one, let's go with this one from Saffron Olive, let's say.
Sure. Doesn't matter.
There you go.
Green cap. All right.
All right, so Ashiok, dream render. One who rends dreams. One... And then a hybrid blue-black. So total of 3 mana for a 5 loyalty legendary planeswalker Ashiok. Spells and abilities your opponents control can't cause their controller to search their library. -1, target player puts the top 4 cards of their library into their graveyard, then exile each opponent's graveyard.
Huh.
So yeah, enjoy that. Holy crap. This card, holy crap. Hello, Eternal Formats. We have a card for you.
Yeah. I mean, that turns off a lot.
Yep. Fetch lands? What fetch lands?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Plus, the Ashiok art is always disconcerting, and this one is no different.
Yeah.
Oh, and Wolfie Harvell points out that this kills Eldrazi. Because if they were in your deck, you would mill them, then exile them. Then the trigger ability from them going into the graveyard, would it know where they were? I don't think it does.
What are we talking about?
One of the problems with Eldrazi is when they go to the graveyard, they get shuffled back in, right? But Ashiok's ability, that's all one ability. So
it's
target player puts the top 4 cards of their library into their graveyard, then exile each opponent's graveyard. You do the whole thing. So that creature, that Eldrazi is now gone. It's in exile, not in the graveyard.
How does it...
So the question is...
ones that it mills.
Yeah, ones that it mills. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, assuming the milling is what puts it there and not normal gameplay, which will allow it to operate accordingly.
Yeah, I was like, this doesn't do anything. It says... search, not shuffle, but you're talking about the minus one.
I'm talking about the minus one ability.
That would be how that works, because we've been exiling those things in response to their trigger to get rid of them since they came out.
Yeah.
So this just does it all in one.
All
so that's
right.
funny.
Oh, Bill, did you see new Tamiyo? She's in gold.
One is in the card image gallery down in
gold. I know Bill's a big Tamiyo fan, so.
Yeah, she's probably my favorite Planeswalker. Which is funny, because she has like almost no story presence, but I just like the design of her first card a lot. And the whole having books float, or the scrolls floating around her thing is just neat.
It is pretty cool.
Tamiyo, Collector of Tales. 2 green, blue, rare. 5 starting load. Spells and abilities your opponents control can't cause you to discard cards or sacrifice permanents. Neat. It's like, can't cause you to do it doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't other ways to have that happen, but cool. Choose non plus one, choose an online card, then card name. Then reveal the top 4 cards of your library, put all cards with the chosen name from among them into your hand and the rest in your graveyard. -3, return target card from your graveyard to your hand. I don't know. Those are a lot of things to do, but in the grand scheme of 4 mana Planeswalkers, I don't know.
At first I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. She shuts off one of Bolas's abilities. The new Bolas? No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
Because Bolas is having you exile a card or a permanent. It's not sacrifice and it's not discard. You actually still have to do those. So, sorry, Tamiyo.
Yeah.
You cannot stop the Bolas train.
What was his second ability? Destroy a target creature or planeswalker. Whoops, never mind.
Yeah, that's not going to help either.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
Like, I think the problem that she's going to run into is the fact that she cost 4. So you've already been hit by relevant things, or she's the thing that gets hit in the event that she's somehow a linchpin to preventing that stuff. But, I mean, I'm sure it would be fun. I would play with it, but I wouldn't get as hyped about it. But the important thing is, hey, look, it's Tamiyo. How's she doing? She needs to have a Tamiyo card that goes with it. Where's the Tamiyo card that goes with it?
Has it been shown yet?
I don't see it here. Unless it's monocolored.
Yeah, let's say, unless it's Tommy. Yeah, it's Tamiyo's Epiphany in blue. Oh, right, duh. It's shown at the same time.
Aha. Tamiyo's Epiphany. Scry 4, then draw 2 cards for 4.
It's 4C, right? I think it's 4C. This is what 4C did, right?
I think it's close to that. I think 4C was different number. Scry 4.
No, it was, because that was the joke. Scry 4, 4C.
Scry 4, then draw 2 cards. Yeah.
For 3 and a blue?
3 and a blue.
Yeah. Functional reprint.
All right, then.
Plus, it's got a big-ass Kefnet in the background, and I can't tell if she knows it's there or not in this art, but the flavor text on the Epiphany is the good one.
Yeah.
Tamiyo wished only to observe the war, but she soon realized neutrality was not an option.
What made you go neutral?
All right, then. So we don't usually spend so long on cards, but
yeah, like, Bill there's a mana pool for that.
But yeah, Bill hasn't seen any of these. I tried to get him to come on the mana pool last week, but he had just gotten back and had other stuff going on.
Yeah. I'll take some time to look over the rest, because obviously, like, normally I like to hit up the legendary creatures to see what's going on. There's a lot of legendary stuff in this set, so I haven't done all that yet, but looks fun and exciting. I appreciate the fact that it kind of feels like they're throwing everything they have in the tank at this set, so I'm sure they'll announce more fun stuff later, obviously, but for right now it looks like they're not holding back, and that's cool. So,
yeah, it's pretty cool. Oh, wait, there's one more. Role reversal. You have to read the flavor text, Bill. It's the actual best.
All right, role reversal. Okay, you're changing 2 permanents that share a type. Got it. Uthlon the Wise scandalized Sphinx society, hooting the answers to riddles as he rampaged through 10th Street. Grengel, on the other hand, sat for hours deep in thought, largely ignored by fellow goblins. Huh.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. I'm kind of getting some Keymaster Gatekeeper vibes out of the art, too. But I appreciate, yeah, that they just directly swapped the minds and personalities of a Sphinx and a Goblin.
It's pretty great.
I also just like the idea of a Sphinx going, "Man, it's man! The answer is man! Shut up! We want to eat these people! You're the worst!"
So let's see. We have 8 of the 10 hybrid planeswalkers. So what are we missing? We've got black, green, black, white, black, red. So we don't have black, blue. No, wait, that was Ashiok.
Yeah.
So that means we're only missing one. Here's green. It's green. It's green white. Wait, that was revealed today too, wasn't it? It was Whatley. Yeah, okay. Never mind.
Whatley.
So now we have all 10 of the hybrid planeswalkers. Cool, they're just not all in the card image gallery yet. Neat. Alright then. So all right. Are we good? Should we do our last thing?
Sure.
All right. The last thing, of course, tournament coverage.
Oh, yeah, /10.
Yep. This is coverage.channelfireball.com/event/10. That surely won't bite anyone in the ass ever.
No, never. Later, we find out they're just converting to binary, and this is actually just event 2.
Ah! So, yeah, there was a GP this weekend, and it was in Sao Paulo. And Marlos Batista Ferreira won. But before we get to that, there were 1,397 players playing Modern. Is that the number you found as well?
Yep, I took it from here, so
okay.
Let's hope it's right.
Let's hope so.
When they tell me the number up front, I don't go digging.
Okay, let's see here. Let's go look at the metagame breakdown because it's Modern and the Phoenix has been running away with things.
That sounds right.
Yep.
That doesn't sound like it's changed much.
Oh, okay, good. So according to this metagame breakdown by Frank Karsten, Izzet Phoenix is still by far the most popular by 12.8%, but this is day 2, but the second most popular deck at 10.1% is Grixis Shadow. That is not the massive gap.
Yeah, this is more in line with a normal format.
Yeah, this is not the massive gap that we've seen for the last 2 or 3 weeks. However many weeks it's been.
I mean, Izzet Phoenix was the front runner when I left.
And that has not changed, but the lead has slowly been shrinking, and this is by far the smallest lead it's had. Tron was next with 8.4% of the day 2 metagame. Hardened Scales and Golgari Midrange, both at 6.6%. Humans at 6.2%, and from there it drops off to 5 and less.
Cool.
Percent, not number of decks.
Yeah. Nice.
And there were still 15% of day 2 with Other. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, good lord, 9, 10... 11, 12, 13, 14, 28 different decks in the other category. So,
nice.
Yeah, Modern still looks all right. Again, the Phoenix.
Yeah.
I say this every week, and I'm going to say it again to make sure people know where I'm coming from. Every time that there's Modern, there's one deck that people want to get banned because they don't like it or it craps on their favorite.
Yeah.
Their favorite deck, so of course it's too powerful. Or in the case of the last Modern ban, which was crap, what was the thing they just banned because it was awful?
The most recent one?
Yeah. The Krark Clan Ironworks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't because the deck was OP. It was because of all the other problems with tournaments running properly and whatnot.
Yeah, usually when they actually ban these things, it's because they cause peripheral problems in addition to being something that people don't like.
Yeah.
It's not often whether it's actually oppressive enough that they just ban it.
And people, of course, were calling for something to be banned from the Izzet Phoenix deck, and I went on the record as saying, most of the time when people complain and say something needs to be banned, it's pointless and stupid. But this one, if the metagame doesn't start shifting around it soon, might need something done. But it looks like the meta is starting to shift around it. So I predict in the next few weeks of Modern, this lead will grow even smaller.
Yeah.
At least I hope so.
And then, as usual, we'll be in that range of, well, the new set's about to come out. Let's see what it does.
Exactly.
Because there's enough weird power cards that I've already seen on my limited view of this set to believe that it's going to do something to Modern. Even if I don't know what.
Well, one of our preview cards might have something to do with it. Force Landing? Takes a flying creature and puts it on the bottom of its owner's library.
Is that green?
Yeah.
Nice.
People were calling, pointing at that and going, this might be a sideboard answer. And I was like, one of my preview cards? Weird.
I mean, if cool. It's cheap.
Yeah, it costs, what, 2? Yeah.
That sounds pretty effective against a lot of things.
But
as long as you're running green, anyway. Which you probably are.
Probably. So anyway, that's the day 2 metagame breakdown for Sao Paulo. Let's go look at... Okay, here we go. Top 8 deck lists. Are these?
Hey, do you want to talk about a deck that didn't make top 8 before or after the top 8?
Well, let's do the top 8 first.
Okay, fair.
Okay. All right, so Marlos Bautista Ferreira 1 playing Tron. What flavor Tron is this? This is, looks like mono green Tron. Cool.
Mint. It is mint flavored.
Is it peppermint or spearmint?
Spearmint.
Okay,
yeah. Sorry.
It's because it's aggro.
Yeah. All right, so second, oh my god, are these in order?
They are.
I was about to ask if they've been making these in order since I left.
No.
Not always, no.
All right, so Andres Cifuentes, I think. In second place, was running the Humans deck.
Which are Humans?
Does it have? Yeah, there they are. I was like, does it have the Malcontents finisher? It does. I play too much Hearthstone.
As
so
an image,
a thing that you can just play that says, "All right, hit you for damage just because I win," appeals to me. So yeah, I like the Kessig Malcontents version of the Humans deck. Anyway. Third place, Matthias Crucius was running Humans.
Yeah.
Without the Kessig Malcontents. Yeah. See, that's why you got third.
They're content.
Sergio Ferri in fourth is running Bogles. Wow, really?
Umbra.
Was there a hole in the meta because of the Phoenix? Nice. All right, moving on. Pedro Gonzalez in fifth is running Titan Shift. Like you do. Whoa, check out this. 2 copies of Flame Slash. Ooh. That's some spicy tech.
It's true.
Sorcery speed, creature only damage? Tasty. Okay, was that? It was fifth. Just making sure that it had the numbers right. In 6th place, we have Leonardo Oliveira. How do you say his last name? Leonardo Gratian? Oliveira Gratian? Gratian? I don't know. G.
Gratian? I don't know.
Leo Olive G was playing the Izzet Phoenix deck. Is this the first one we've seen?
I'm going to call you Log.
This is the first one we've seen, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It's got your Phoenix and your Drakes and your things in the ice and then all of these spells. Like you do. And then, oh, Henrik Heilemann in 7th was also running an Izzy Phoenix deck, like you do.
Yep.
And then rounding out the top 8, Javier Velauta, something like that, I apologize, is running Clues.
Burn.
There we go. Is this, nope, this is just straight up Burn.
Yep.
Of course, it's got Light at the Stage and Skewer the Critics because those cards are insane.
Those aren't good cards.
Apply yeah. fire directly to the forehead.
And Light at the Stage says, pay 1 mana, draw 2.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. For 1 mana? Yeah.
I'd probably do that.
Hell, I'd play that in Standard. I'd play that in Modern. I might even play it in Legacy. And it is.
Fair.
Yeah. All right, so Clues wanted to talk about a deck that didn't make the top 2.
Yeah, there is a spicy deck.
Is it the Bushwhacker Goblin?
It's totally the Bushwhacker Goblin deck, yeah. Have you got that up on the screen there? Because I can't see your screen. I can see my screen.
Sort of?
I guess
we can make this out there.
Yeah, I guess you're going to have to click on it to try and make it out. It is running Nothing But Mountains for the lands, which is great. Absolutely love that. We've got Foundry Street Denizen. We've got Goblin Bushwhacker, who we're totally going to kick. We've got Goblin Chieftain. We've got Legion Loyalist. I love Legion Loyalist. He is so good. We got Mog War Marshal. We got Reckless Bushwhacker. We got the Goblin Pile Driver. There are only 3 of those, and I'm a little confused about that because there's a Fanatical Firebrand back there. We got Mog Fanatics, Frenzied Goblin, Goblin Grenade, Lightning Bolts. This, who could ask for anything more? This is a beautiful deck. This is a beautiful thing. Mario Rodriguez, this is absolutely wonderful. Mario finished 149th, but still, that was 149th out of like 1,300 players. So
almost 1,400.
Yeah, so that ain't bad. That ain't bad with what is not a very expensive modern deck. Because
yeah, like,
I don't
what's
think
what's expensive
these...
in here? Pile drivers and
pile drivers. Maybe the relics in the sideboard. Maybe.
Oh wow, he's got Blood Sun and Relic of Progenitus and Alpine Moon all in the board. Yep. That's funny.
But strangely, no Blood Moon.
I guess he doesn't need it with Blood Suns and Alpine Moons.
Yeah, I guess not. But I do like this deck a lot, so I wanted to point it out. Thank you very much for humoring me. We can move on.
Goblins!
The 8-whack deck is actually a real thing. It's not like this guy came out of nowhere with it, so I'm sure Clues is happy with goblins showing up in Modern.
Yes. Yes,
ooh,
I am.
A bigger image.
I kind of want to make this deck.
Oh, wow, that is a bigger image. Nice. Okay, then.
Hooray.
All right. Yep, thanks. Sorry about that.
Fool said sorry. Well, let's look at these other 2 spicy ones. What do we have? What is this? Mono White Tokens. Venerated Loxodon, of course. Conclave Tribunal. Gather the Townsfolk. Intangible Virtue. There it is. Legion's Landing. Path to Exile. Raise the Alarm. Ooh! Servo Exhibition, Spectral Procession, Jesus Christ. Two copies of a single flavor of Gideon, Ally of Zendikar, Karn Scion of Urza, Secure the Wastes, and Oust. So, vomit out a bunch of dudes, pump them up with Venerated Loxodon and Intangible Virtue, and then smash face. Seems good. And then what is this? Tribal Zoo. Well, I see Tarmogoyf over here with the lands, so whoever put this together screwed that up, but...
Meh.
And there's Dryad Arbor just dropped in amongst the lands, too. Like we wouldn't
sneaky,
notice.
Sneaky.
Oh my god, it's Tribal Flames. I remember when this was a deck that, like, was always a thing. Man, has the meta shifted enough to make this come back? That's awesome. So we've got Tribal Flames is the big thing. Eidolon of the Great Revel. Grim Lavamancer. The Narnum Renegade. Which I forgot what happened. Enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it. If a permanent you controlled left the battlefield this turn. So it's a 1-mana 2/3 death touch. Wild in the Coddle, of course. Dromoka's Command. There's another Goyf hiding in the back. What the hell, Goyfs? Get it together. Lightning Bolts, Declaration of Stone, Smuggler's Copter. Ha! Yeah.
Makes me.
I like it. I see why they're listed under Spicy List, because they are, in fact, Spicy List. Wow, you've got Day 2 win rates? Is it Phoenix had a 50.6% Day 2 win rate. Humans had a 68.1%.
That's a better number.
Hardened Scales was a 55. Tron was at almost 57. Wow. That's pretty cool. All right. There's all kinds of... What is the marriage proposal? Did someone propose at... someone... Oh, look, there's a marriage proposal at Sao Paulo.
Yeah?
Apparently there was a ring in the Ultimate Masters box. Oh, I'm going to die.
So the question is, do you draft it or do you pass it? So as here, she said yes, so I guess we know what first pick was, but like, what did you get on, you know, the wheel?
Yeah, right? Did that replace the mythic?
Like, you're looking at it and you're like, you know, I bet this ring will table. Maybe I should go with this. It's still better than a foil Goyf, right? What, too soon? Like, come on. I've been gone.
Right. Yeah, but what was the EV on the ring? This day and age, not high. Oh, the ring replaces the buy a box promo. Ah, okay. That makes sense. Anyway, so that was GP Sao Paulo. That's pretty
good.
Cool.
Job, everybody.
Are we good to go, everyone? Should we wrap it up?
I think we should, yeah.
Probably a good idea.
All right. So I guess Bill wants to tell us something about his adventures. Did the eye, by the way, leave your apartment in good shape?
It was messier when I got back than it was when I left, so I guess not. I shouldn't be too surprised. I think it cooked and then left. So I'm like, oh, I did the dishes before I left, and now I have to do the dishes again. And so inconsiderate. Like, that art where it ruined the mailbox I don't have is almost accurate. So, there you go. But, that was fun. So, like, obviously I went to Japan. Like, while I was in Japan, I had fun wandering around for about 18 days. I spent about a week in Tokyo, and then I spent a week between Osaka, Kyoto, and Himeji. And then I spent, like, the last week essentially in Tokyo again. Hanging out with people, doing stuff. I went to the best fire hazard death trap I've ever been to. It was about as close to Rakdos as you're going to get without a strip show. So that was pretty cool. It's called the Robot Restaurant. Completely crazy. You, just to set the stage, you go into this super bright Technicolor lights everywhere venue, and they take you down an elevator. And then they take you down like three more flights of stairs. So you're super underground and you're seated in what looks like a two-sided arena. So you've got seats over here and seats over here. When you walk in, you go to your designated seat. Once everyone's seated, they put slats in the exits so you can't leave. And then they proceed to march out big robots that breathe fire at each other and stuff. And you're sitting here like, I'm three or four stories under street level. I can't get up and leave. And now there's fire. This is amazing. You could never do this in America. But it was cool. It was lots of bright lights and crazy shows and over-the-top nonsense. That's actually kind of a lot of what my experience in Japan was, if I'm being honest. Like, it's crazy. But mixed in with that, really pretty stuff. But it was neat. And so for a little while, I'll probably be showing some souvenirs on InShow. The one that I want to show today, this is a Lupin the Third car that I got by going to Universal Studios in Osaka, and it's noteworthy because I didn't buy this as a collectible. I bought this because I was buying popcorn, and this is what it came in. Because you pop up the hood, and it was full of popcorn. And that's how you apparently get popcorn when you're at Universal Studios and you want to go on the Lupin the Third VR roller coaster, which is to say you get on a roller coaster and then they put VR goggles over your face. So you don't see the real world. You see yourself as part of a car chase, running along sides of buildings, escaping on cliffs, jumping over rivers, all kinds of crazy stuff, while the roller coaster is shaking you around and you're actually experiencing most of that. At times it sprays water in your face because of course it does. You're running through a river. It was a lot of fun. And then I ate popcorn out of a car. So that was part of my crazy Japan adventure. I took over 4,000 pictures and I had new things happen every day. So I'm going to share a little bit of that for, I guess, at least a few weeks, but it was neat. So, past that, you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no Y in Goblin because, as we mentioned, it wrecked my place and ran. So, as you do. But I will, you know, continue to obviously post nonsense on there. I might post some photos. I did not meet any listeners, but I did go to some magic stores. And it's really weird going to magic stores in Japan because, like, if you go to, like, Haruya stuff, then yeah, like it's all magic focused and great. If you go to any of the other game stores, it's like, here's all the Yu-Gi-Oh, here's all the Card Fight Vanguard, and then over here in the corner is the Magic. And most of the cards are still in English because they collect older cards for these cases and they're not always available in Japanese. But it was neat. It was fun to be there. I found a gachapon machine, which is like, you know, like when you go to a grocery store and you put in quarters and it just spits out like crappy little toys. In Japan, they have those, but they vary in value all the way up to thousands of dollars because it's essentially gambling. And so they had a gachapon machine where you, like, you'd get a piece of paper or something out and you would redeem it for a magic card. I didn't want to carry around a magic card for the last 2 weeks of my trip, so I didn't do it, but I was entertained by the presence of it. So it's like, on the one hand, I'm like, oh, this is gambling. On the other hand, I buy packs of magic, which is also the exact same gambling. So I can't even really criticize it.
True.
But it was funny. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. If you ever decide that you want to go to Japan, then there are plenty of travel websites that'll tell you the stuff to do. Go see the giant Gundam because it's cool and to scale and you're the size of half of its foot. Pretty awesome all around. So I will probably post some more nonsense on Twitter. I might dig out some photos that would be entertaining and dump them in there. So cool. That's all my nonsense for now. So go Clues.
Wait a minute. You took a picture of the Kirby restaurant. Did you eat at the Kirby restaurant?
I did not have the multiple weeks in advance reservations to get into the Kirby restaurant.
Okay, that's...
So no, I did not eat at the Kirby restaurant. It was more exclusive than nearly anything else I tried to do.
Really?
Kirby is big in Japan. Japan loves Kirby. Like, I took a bunch of pictures outside the Kirby restaurant. I did not get in. Now, I made it into the Ghibli Museum, which I had to get tickets for like a month in advance. I made it to the Square Enix Cafe, which was in Kingdom Hearts mode. I made it to the UFO Table Cafe, which was in Fate, Heaven's Feel mode. And I did the Gundam Cafe, which has a space toilet that I recorded video of that I will be sharing at some point in the future because it's a space toilet.
Nope, Clues, don't ask.
No, not going to.
I'm going to wait for the video, man.
It's entertaining and special. But yeah, there's that. So I'll share some of this nonsense as I get it transferred from my travel laptop back to my desktop and start posting it. So fun times. Go for it, Clues.
All right. If you want to get more of me, I'm on the Twitters. I'm at LockLuzet, spelled just like it is in the show notes. I finally had a few minutes over the weekend to do something I've been meaning to do for a while now. A little while back, I got a new laptop, and I'm not much of a fan of Windows, but I made this laptop dual boot Windows and Linux for one reason and one reason only. That's so that I could keep the Windows partition to try out Magic Arena. So I finally downloaded Magic Arena, and I tried it out, and it's pretty good. I'm actually really impressed, to be honest with you. They've pretty well captured the Magic experience. I mean, to the point that, you know, when I first learned how to play Magic, there was this period of time after I learned where I just couldn't get enough of it. Whenever I wasn't playing Magic, I was thinking about playing Magic. I've been thinking about playing Arena the entire time we've been doing this show tonight. So that's a thing, I guess. I don't really want to spend any actual money in it, except I kind of do, because I kind of want to open some cards, because they've captured that experience too, where you open the booster pack and it like slow rolls the rare card in there. I mean, they really knew what they were doing here.
Do they give you the full Magic experience of cleaning up other people's trash?
They don't. The wrapper just magically disappears, which, you know, that and not having to shuffle is like they've done a really nice job there. But it's neat. I'm really impressed. I've just been playing through against the AI, you know, cause you like rank up and get a bunch of free cards and decks at the beginning there. And so I've just been doing that, and I'm pretty sure that they make the AI just slightly crappy on purpose, just so that you can learn how not to play.
Ooh,
that's what I'll say. So I've been enjoying that, and that's all I'll say about that at this time. Maybe I'll say more about Arena as time goes on. We'll see how much staying power it has for me.
Cool.
Over to you, Chewy.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Now, how do I follow up from, I just got back from Japan, look at my car I ate popcorn out of, and I finally started playing Arena.
Did you eat popcorn out of Arena?
I could sneeze.
I don't think I would want to eat popcorn out of Arena.
Oh, God, that hurt.
You okay there, bud?
I could almost...
Rule number one, man.
I could almost blow part of my brain out. That works. Okay, so, hi, I'm Chewy. And that sneeze was intense.
Manipool.
Like, that hurt. Like, it hurts right here. Now, like all of this area right here, my nose, my eye, all of that just hurts now. Oh my God, Brian's in the chat. What?
He's here to tell you not to die.
Apparently,
in your time of need.
My lawyer advises me not to die.
That's good legal advice.
Okay, I forgot what I was saying. Stuff and things and hey, so I'm Chewy. I do lots of stuff. I do Monday Night Magic right here on twitch.tv/TheManipool on Monday nights. And then on Thursday nights, we do the Manipool podcast right here on twitch.tv/TheManipool. It's Monday at 8:30-ish p.m. Eastern time and Thursdays at 8-ish Eastern time. This depends on how late Brian is, how late Clues is, how much crap we have to talk about ahead of time, how long Bill's been missing. You know, nope, Pinball Witch, I'm sorry, I saw that one too. I do appreciate the attempt and the bits. She's still trying to get me with another What Was That. But I also, here on twitch.tv/TheManipool, stream other things. There's, at the moment, I'm streaming a lot of Hearthstone because I'm trying real hard to push to Legend this month, which is the equivalent of hitting Mythic in Arena, in Constructed. So I've made it up to rank 4 again. I keep dropping back down to 5 and then hitting the floor and bouncing back up. So, but I think I'm still in, no, I dropped back down to the top of 5 earlier today and gave up, but I've got better decks and a better sense of what I'm playing against. So I'm confident that in the 15 days left before the end of the season, I'm going to hit Legend, and I'm going to do it on stream, so you should come hang out at twitch.tv/TheManipool if you want to know when I'm going live. I usually go live at like 7:30 p.m. on the days that I stream-ish.
That sounds like you.
Yeah. I don't stream on Tuesdays because we play Overwatch on Tuesdays. We might stream tomorrow because it's a new event. I don't know. We'll see how I'm feeling tomorrow. I might not, because nobody comes to watch Overwatch streams, so I don't bother streaming them anymore.
Yeah.
And I know there's people in the chat like, I do. Okay, you're the only one. Shut up. But
it's just you.
Yeah, it's just you and like some bots, and that's it. But new Overwatch event starts on Tuesday, by the way, everybody. It's another Archives event called Storm Rising. Looks pretty sweet. Anyway. But if you want, to help support what I do, because I've got one YouTube video that goes up every day. Some days there are two, because right now it's Hearthstone and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, the World of Light mode. I'm alternating between those. So, yeah, that's what's going up. The Hearthstone videos are from the new meta, because rotation just happened in Hearthstone, so there's all this new stuff. So I'm picking good and bad. Games that are really good and games that are really bad to put on YouTube. I've actually got one that I rendered right before we started tonight's show, and one that I edited up that I'm going to render when we're done. So, but, and the World of Light mode in Super Smash Brothers, I've got like three streams backed up that I'm just cutting into videos and putting those up. So this is all just a constant stream. There's at least one video per day going up on the YouTube channel. Like I said, some days I get two because I just want to put up two. So that's youtube.com/themanapool. And all that stuff is streamed here on twitch.tv/themanapool. Yeah. Yeah. But if you want to help support what I do with this insane amount of content creation, the easiest way to do it is to just spread the word. You see a video you like or a podcast that you like, then share it. Put it on social medias or the Reddits or whatever, because that really does help a lot. And if you want to help in a more direct way, then go to patreon.com/themanapool and become a lifeguard, because the lifeguards get perks. And you help me keep the lights on and, you know, pay rent and allow me to, you know, keep making this insane amount of content for you. So our Pinball Witch threw 5 bits and says you can also cheer bits. It's true. Or you can subscribe on Twitch. If you have Twitch Prime, you get one free subscription every month to give to a streamer. By all means, please do. If you don't give it to me, give it to somebody. Preferably a smaller streamer, because we appreciate it a whole hell of a lot more than I suspect someone that's got hundreds and hundreds of streamers, of subscribers. Those of us who have, like, tens, everyone is super special.
But getting the max return feels.
Exactly. So, right, the lifeguards on patreon.com/themanapool get perks. The uncommon lifeguards get early access to all YouTube videos and most Manapool podcasts. Obviously not the ones where we have exclusive previews. You don't get that early, but the rest you pretty much do. And the rare lifeguards get the early access stuff and the odds and ends, which is the behind-the-scenes stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool that's uncensored and unfiltered and generally unsafe for consumption. But if you've ever wondered what we're like when we're not recording the show live, we're just like this, but nerdier.
And swearing.
And swearing, yeah. If you want to hear clues, swear. That's where you get it.
It happens. Yep, that's the time.
I think and Clues swears more than either of us do when we're not doing this.
Probably not me.
Not counting like while we're playing games, but I mean just like in the post-show talking. Like yeah, I think okay. He just enjoys doing it.
Well, it's my outlet. I don't swear most of the rest of the time, let's say.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Like, we both swear terribly when we're playing Overwatch. But that's because we're frustrated.
Yeah, because we're playing Overwatch.
Well, and in my employment, I do spend most of the day not swearing, but talking. So when I have the chance to, it's nice.
It is. Mm. And you can hear that at the $10 tier as a rare lifeguard. And finally, the mythic lifeguards get the early stuff, the odds and ends, and the sponsorship shout out in the end of both podcasts and on the end screen for all the YouTube videos that go up each month. So, I'd like to thank our Mythic Lifeguards, Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Lance Delicious, Team U, Hell Is Are You, Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Alex Gonzalez, Jeff Spencer, who finished his taxes. He popped up in the stream earlier and was like, taxes done. I'm like, it's about time, because it's tax day. Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Sophia Bertain, Casey, Fayan Says, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Brian DeLucci. Wait a minute. Okay, I was really afraid I was going to have another sneeze that blew part of my face off, but no. Keith Moody, John Parker, Violet Moon, Aleph Cat, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Give it a second. It'll hit in a second.
Stay on target.
And of course, Stark Maximum, whose name I didn't say.
True. He was warned.
He wasn't here when we were joking about the world.
Oh, was he not? Over.
Yeah. But yes, that is the mythic.
Oh, War of the Starks.
Lifeguards. Thank you all so very much for what you do. I quite literally could not do it without you. And of course, thank you to all of my lifeguards. No matter what tier you're at, I love you all. But I don't read your name off because, you know, that's what I do for the mythics.
Nah.
But I love you all just the same. And that will be it for Monday Night Magic number 649. Welcome back, Squee, and thank you for all the abs.
I mean, you know, you have to bring enough for everyone, or why even bother?
Exactly, which is why I don't bother.
There you go.
Let's say.
The trick is having one big ab in the middle and also it not being made of abs.
It's quite a trick.
You could get that the ab. Oh, I forgot what it's called, but it was a marker. But
yeah.
Anyway, so thank you all so very much for joining us, and go play some Magic.